Morning, church. The morning sermon will be Embrace the Power. The name of it is Embrace the Power. It'll be coming from Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. And it reads, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." May God add a blessing to his holy name.
Lord, send me. Job chapter 5 and verse number 6. For hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble, and surely as sparks fly upward. But if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. May be seated. How refreshing it is to know that God is our keeper and our sustainer, that God is our very life. How refreshing that is to know that to those that call God their father and we are his children. You know, the struggle out there is real. The struggle is real. You know, we find ourselves saddened at times and grieved at other times, and we find ourselves sometimes can't seem to get it all together. We just disconnected from everything. The struggle is real. And the cliche of the day is, and you all know it really well, if there ever was a time to pray, amen? If there ever was a time to pray, it is now. And that time is right now, right now. You know, there was a story told about a guy who was a farmer and a pretty strapping man, about 6'5", 250. He knew he was a strong man, and he had a small business at the beginning, selling fertilizer. So he would take that fertilizer and he would move it by himself all the time, just the strength of his might. And his business grew, and he still would move all that merchandise by hand. Finally, his business grew so big that he had semi-trucks bringing in his material, and he would take 500-pound bags at a time and put them on a pallet, and he would move them as well. So finally, the guy says, you know what, there are people that sell forklifts. You can get yourself a forklift and move this stuff. And he said, sure, I'll order a forklift. And a forklift came, and he still would take 500-pound bags and put it on the pallet and then move it with the forklift. So finally, the guy came in with the truck one day. He says, you mind if I use your forklift? He says, no problem. He took the forklift and took a whole one-ton pallet off the truck and set it where he wanted it to be. He says, man, I didn't know I could do that. You see, the problem with us is that we have access to power, but we really don't know it. It's there the whole while, and we just don't realize it. We see it, but we don't internalize it. Listen, many of us in our prayer life are much like this man hauling 500 pounds of feed on a one-ton forklift. Each time we discover the power of prayer on a higher level, we are astounded because we realize that we had all the power available and we didn't even know how to embrace it. The struggle, I'm telling you, is there, it's real. Internal pressures, external pressures, children, jobs, finances, the struggle is there. Our spiritual life is a struggle. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers in those high places. We don't wrestle against. Our fight is not with man. It's not with ourselves. It's not even within ourselves. Our fight is with the fleshly things in this world that draw us And the struggle, I'm going to tell you again. Doesn't matter if it's husband and wife, children. Before I have you to consider the power of prayer this morning, I want to make what I regard some important observations. Observation number one is this. To be effective in prayer is dependent on our heart and our attitude. But too many of us depend on procedure and how we do it and when we do it. Well, every night I go to bed, I'm on my knees. Okay. Let me say this to you. If you have a 4-year-old girl and an 8-year-old boy and a teenager, you're going to listen to them, try to understand them, and respond to each one of them. And while each one of them have different vocabularies and different abilities to communicate, and each one think on different levels and they're aware of different things, you are quite capable of listening to each and every one of them on his or her own level. And you're going to understand them and respond to that child's true needs, even though they are different. You're going to listen to each one and respond in kind. Even if you have more than one child in your family, every one of them is different. And even if you have identical twins, they have totally different levels of communication and comprehension themselves. Listen, when you have children of different ages, our abilities to listen and understand, they peak. But rarely does our ability to understand exceeds the ability to care for those children, to give them what they need. And most of all, let me tell you about our children. When they come to us, they believe that we have the power to affect the change. And they're coming because they realize that they don't have the answers. They come because they realize they don't have the power. They realize that they just can't do it. Oh, Lord, I wish that we can get to that point in our lives. When it comes to our lives, when we're dealing with God, I wish we can get to the point where we ask God because we know that he can do it. And we don't take it for granted just because we got a routine or procedure in our lives. Every Sunday, oh, I come, Lord. I get on my knees every night, Lord. I get on first thing in the morning, Lord. Procedure, procedure, procedure. Let's pray to God because we know that he has the power. Let's call on God because he has the... I don't know if y'all with me this morning. It's daylight saving time. This is my favorite time of the year. I might be able to preach till midnight today. Amen. God is a better parent to his children than we can ever dream of becoming, ever think or imagine. You see, he understands what we're asking and what we need when we don't even understand ourselves. Have your children ever asked you, Dad, how you knew that? Mom, how you knew that? Been there and got the t-shirt. How you know that? He understands. God understands what we need. He understands what we're trying to say when we don't even know how to say it. So the effective key to prayer is a matter of our heart and our attitude. That's where it's at. If your heart and your attitude are not right, God is not pleased. But if you come at me right, you got a better chance of getting what you, amen, what you want, right? But you got to come at me right. Because I'm not Jesus. They came at him wrong, and he still gave them what they needed. It was salvation to every last one of them, even unto us. And we're still coming at God wrong. And he's still supplying us with the things that we... Boy, don't we serve a wonderful God? We serve a powerful God. Procedures and technicalities are never the key to effective prayer, and they never have been. How about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, 9 through 14? Let's talk about this for a second. The Pharisee, you see, was a symbol of a deeply religious person. You see a religious person when you look in the mirror? Or are you just a Pharisee? Oh, devout. Never cut corners. Did everything he needed to do to serve the God that he so loved. The Pharisee represented the common image of one who was devoutly religious. And in that day, if anyone was concerned about God's commands in Scripture, it was a Pharisee. So it was. But then we have old tax collector, right? He symbolized the wicked Jew. He collected taxes that benefited the Roman government, and many Jews regarded him to be an enemy of the nation of Israel. And since the Romans took away Jewish independence, collecting taxes from your brethren to benefit them was regarded as an act of disloyalty to the Jewish people. You were turning your back on your brethren. Here's what I want you to get from this story. That's the backdrop. Here's what I want you to get from this story. The Pharisee and the tax collector were at the temple at the same time. You know what they were doing? They were praying. At the same time, at the temple, and they both were praying. But I want you to hear what Jesus said about the Pharisee, about those that are religious, about those of us today who take for granted the power of God. You know what Jesus said? Go back and look at it. Jesus said the Pharisee was praying to himself and not to God. How many of us pray to ourselves? You ain't got to raise your hands. But I'm going to tell you that we take for granted the power of God, and we, just like the Pharisee, we praying. Oh, yeah, we getting it done. Every morning I'm on my knees, Lord. Every night I'm on my knees before I go to bed. Procedure, procedure, and we praying to ourselves. Look at it. You never saw that in there before? Jesus said the Pharisee was praying, yes. I'm going to leave you alone. But the tax collector, he was consumed with his own unworthiness and his evil. He was consumed with that. He asked God, look, be merciful to me, Lord, because I am a sinner. He knew who he was and what he was. Here's the difference. The Pharisee's confidence was in his own goodness and his own power. He had so much strength and power within himself, he was praying to. I want you to get that now, because they got a lot of folks who think they're depending on God and they're praying, but it's not going past the ceiling because there's no power in it, because they take for granted that God is going to do what they ask him to do, or they ask God to do things amiss and it'll never get done. Kids ever came to you and asked you for something that was nonsense and you knew you wasn't going to do it? And it can ask you 3 or 4 times, Mama, 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 and you knew it. But the tax collector, he appealed to God's goodness and to God's power, because he knew that within him he had no power to defeat the sin that was inside of him. We play with sin too much, and prayer is the power to defeat that sin in our lives. The struggle is real. It's right there. But we want to play along the fence with sin all the time, and it'll never affect us like it affects the other person, because we're too powerful for that. The key to effective prayer has always and will always be a matter of heart and attitude. If the heart and the attitude are right, God is pleased. Please. Let me just say this and just get this out the way too while I'm at it. The second thing we've got to understand is that we hold a critical awareness about relationships if our prayer is going to be effective. We've got to understand relationships. Amen. Now let me just talk to, because the Bible specifically says this about men. So let's just get this out. And I'm not going to exclude any of you women out of it, but this is what he says about the men, okay? Peter said to the Jews dispersion in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Give honor unto your wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, live with her together as heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers might not be hindered. If you ain't, let's get some grammars out here. If you ain't treating your wife right, your prayers ain't reaching past this ceiling. If you ain't thinking about your wife, your prayers ain't reaching, you're praying to yourself.
If you're treating your wife mean, if you always want your wife just to serve you and you're not serving her, how far I got to go with this, brother? Peter said it a long time ago to the Jews of dispersion. Treat your wife as you treat yourself. If you're not treating your wife right, you just praying to yourself and it's all for nothing. It's like working all your life and they have nothing to. Amen? But as far as our relationship toward God goes, towards God, I want you to be advised that God does not exist to be our servant. We exist to serve God. We think sometimes God is just like that genie we take off the shelf and it's in the lamp we put in our pockets and when we need him, oh, and here he comes, poof. But that's all a lie, isn't it? Isn't it? We're dealing with real life and a real struggle, and we're dealing with the love of a true and living God. And we ought to know it and tap into that power. Embrace that power. Call on the Lord. Call on him. God is our Father. He's not our servant. And we've got to approach him as a Father that we love and respect dearly. And we must never approach him as though it is God's obligation to do what we tell him to do. Because that's how we pray. Oh, you know, that's what we do. But God exalts the humble. And he turns a deaf ear to those that are egotistical, that are stuck on themselves, because all they're doing, again, I need you to get it, they are praying to who? That's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? You just think you're praying. You're doing the right thing all the time. Man. You know, and back in the days when there were farmers, and you see this on TV, they used to ring the bell, right? And when they rung that bell, what did that mean? I mean, it was time to go eat, right? When I was in elementary school, they used to ring the bell. You know what that bell was for? One of my favorites, recess. Things change a lot, don't they? But God's word never changes. We can never ring the bell for recess when it comes to God's word. Because God's word feeds us. So when the bell is rung, it's always time to feed on God's word that we might know his power. God is not our creation. We didn't make God. God made us in his own image, in his own likeness. Created he them, male and female. You and I are God's creation. God doesn't depend on us. Listen to this. Listen to this. God doesn't depend on us for anything. And if I want to break my English up, God doesn't depend on us for nothing. Nothing. And his purposes are going to come to pass with you. He said, either you're for me or you're against me. We are dependent on God for everything. And similarly, our true purposes cannot come to pass without God. Never come to pass. Without God, you just won't do it. But Jesus says, with God, all things are. I need you to get that. All things. We're not leaving nothing out. All things are possible with God. Here's the third thing I need you to see. God commonly works in unexpected ways to do unexpected things. And the power of prayer is going to deliver to us those things that are unexpected. Through faith, we can see it happening. When God had the prostitute Rahab rescued from Jericho, he allowed her to be one of the ancestors through whom Christ would come, a harlot. God working in an unexpected way. Do the unexpected. When God sent Jonah with a message for the cruel and vicious, idolatrous nation of Assyria, God was working in an unexpected way to do the unexpected. Jonah didn't even want to do it. When Jesus worked through a Samaritan woman who had been divorced 5 times and was living with another man, to whom she wasn't even married to, God says, you're going to worship me in spirit and truth. The time is coming. You don't have to run up to a mountain anymore. Worship me right where you are in spirit and truth. Tap into the power. God was working in unexpected ways, doing the unexpected. How about Zacchaeus, wealthy tax collector, untouchable in his social life, living in Jericho? God took this man of lowly stature and worked in an unexpected way to do the unexpected. Get out of that tree, I'm coming to your house. What? Man, I don't know how we would act today if we saw Jesus coming up the street and he said, look, I'm coming to your house. Oh boy, I don't know if he, amen? I'm coming. Isn't that unexpected? But he works in unexpected ways to do unexpected things because your prayer life is geared and focused on God working out things in your life. The struggle is real. It's there. It's there. It's all too real. When Jesus told the thief on the cross who was dying beside him that you would be with me this day in paradise, he was working in unexpected ways to do things that were unexpected. I want you to know that God has never stopped working in unexpected ways. Even today, he does things that are unexpected among his children. And we ought to expect the unexpected. How about when Jesus prayed the last night of his earthly life? I want to put you in that garden. There were no street lights out there. There were no floodlights out there. It was all darkness, and he was on his knees praying to his Father, getting ready to die. His humanity was on display as clearly as you can see it. It was the last night of his life. Man, if we knew that it was the last night of our lives, what would we be doing? I don't think some of us would be praying. Scrambling, trying to get everything we can get. And we won't be looking for anybody to apologize to that we offended all of our lives. We won't be trying to make no apologies. No, we're going to be running, try to say, you know what, let me see if I can. I don't know what's on your heart, but I know it wouldn't be prayer. Amen. If you knew it was the last night of your life, would you be in prayer to God, tapped into his power? What would you be? I want you to think about that. Because the day could be the very last day of your life. People are dying all around us. Every waking moment of our lives, and it doesn't matter what age they are. I had a cousin last week died, 34 years old, just fell off the porch. The struggle is, it's there, church. It's there. Jesus entered that garden to pray. And Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 26 that he was grieved and distressed. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. I am as distressed as I would be if I were actually dying, he said. Prayed three times, pleading with God to remove the necessity of his death. But he yielded to the will of his Father. Mark describes Jesus' mental state when he entered into the garden to pray. He says he was being very distressed and troubled. Mark also records that Jesus told Peter, James, and John, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been grieved to the point of death? Oh. And he cried, Mark says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not I, but your will be done. I want you to see what he said there. I don't want you to miss that. All things are possible for you, Lord. You can do it. I know you have the power. Boy, if we would just pray to God that way, as if we die every time we pray, how effective would that be in your life? All things are possible, Lord. But let your will be done. Luke says, being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down Anybody ever pray till they sweat? I doubt it. We pray so quick now. We drink water longer than we pray. From the fountain. You ask yourself, Lord, look. Where is the power in Jesus' prayer? Because didn't he die? He died. That wasn't removed. I'm going to tell you that the power is seen in the way that he surrendered his life to his captors. The power was seen in the way that he healed Malchus's ear because it was cut off. The power was seen in his attitude and demeanor in all those trials he went through. The power was seen in the way he talked to Pilate. The power is seen in the way he faced and endured the death on that cruel cross. The power is seen in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood if we would only pray and ask God. Because the struggle is real. It's there. The power was seen in everything Jesus did after he prayed. You know, I find it really sad that somebody asks us to pray for them. We're going to pray for them specifically for that thing that they ask us to pray for, and they run counter to the things they ask you to pray for. They go do it. The exact same thing that they shouldn't be doing, that they ask you to pray for, they go do it anyway. Aren't you negating my prayer? I'm praying for you, and you still running with Satan. Because we don't understand the power of prayer. We take it for granted. Brother Collins, I need you to pray for me because I'm in this situation. And you go right back to the same situation while I'm sitting there sweating my head off praying for you. Here go Grammys again, and you ain't trying to do nothing about it. You ain't trying to help yourself. But I'm praying for you sincerely about it because you've asked me to do that. And I wish that everybody would have that attitude when somebody asks them to pray. Regardless of who they are or what their circumstance is, station of life, just pray. God has the power to take away the worst things that Satan can ever do and create an eternal Savior for you in your life. God gave Jesus strength to succeed in his death. He raised him from the dead, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead made him Lord in Christ, and it's that same power that will save you from your sins as well. That same power. Got about two more scriptures for you. Romans chapter 8. Paul was giving encouragement to the Christians in Rome who had endured and were enduring discouragement and suffering because they were Christians. Listen, because they were Christians, the struggle was real. Romans 8, 31 through 39 is one of the most powerful and most encouraging scriptures that were ever written to Christians. In verse 31 and 32 is what Paul asks. If God is for us, amen? Oh, we're talking about some power right now, brother. Oh, if God is for me, who can be against me? Does it really matter? Shouldn't matter. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us what? All things. There is no power superior to God's power. None. Nothing can contend, nor can anything defeat the God that we serve. We belong to the winner. We belong to those that are conquerors. So how can we doubt that he's going to respond in any way necessary if he has already allowed his son to die for our sins? He will respond in any way necessary to save your life, to save your soul. Here's the second thing. The second statement was made to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Listen to this one. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner man. That's where we're weak at, on the inside. I might take this coat off and show you all these muscles I got popping out here.
But inside? Amen? Oh, inside, that's what we got to deal with. Right?
I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through the Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people, not by yourself. My power is strengthened by your power, and your power is strengthened by my power, and yours, all collectively, we have the power. To grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Here we go. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Can you see that? It's been there the whole while. We've just been taking them 50-pound bags and moving them by ourselves, and we had a forklift sitting right there. Some of us don't know how to drive the forklift, but you can ask somebody who knows and they'll help you. They'll teach you how to do it. Some people only pray to themselves. I need you to get that. Oh, you pray all the time. Yes, I do. It's not to God. It's not to God. Not to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. There's not a need or a request that exceeds the power of God to help you. Not one. You can do more than you can even imagine. According to the power that works within us right now, if there ever was a time to pray, it's right now. And that is the same power that keeps us in a safe condition. That is the same power that forgives us of our sins. That's the same power that sanctifies us. That's the same power that purifies us. It's the power that sustains our relationship with God. It's the power that sustains our relationships with each other. It's the power that stops us from lying to each other. It's the power that sustains us from deceiving each other. It's the power of God that we take for granted. It's the same power that rescues us even from ourselves. And we've had it the whole while. There is no condition that Satan can create in your world or your life that God cannot work in. He can work it out. Work it out. If God can take the crucifixion and create a savior, he can take anything that happens in your life and produce your salvation. I know the struggle is real. I know it's there. I know sin is crouching at your door. I know it's right there. You know, Ephesians 6, the scripture talks about the power and might of God. After it talks about the power and might of God, you know what he says? Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Because that armor of God gives you the power to fight against all those principalities, rules, authorities, and powers that are against us. Put it on. Put it on. I don't want you to ever conclude that when terrible things happen in your life, that God is not at work. He's been at work from the very beginning. He's going to be at work from the when time is no more. He's going to be at work. God is not causing terrible things. Some people blame God for everything, but they forget to blame themselves. He's working through those terrible things because he wants to save your life, your very soul. It's about salvation, you see. You know, people can understand that when they're going through the most terrible times in their lives, that God is doing his best and his most powerful work. We've just got to tap into the power. We've got to embrace it. God's power is most evident in my life when I'm at my weakest. So may the eyes of your heart be enlightened so you'll know the hope of God's calling. May your heart, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you can know the riches of his glory, of his inheritance. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened so you can know the great power he makes available to all of us who believe. And may you understand the incredible things God did because the power of his might was at work in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If there was ever time to pray, it's right now. It's right now. So I invite you today to just embrace this power of God. We can't embrace it if we never heard about it. The farmer heard about the forklift, he got it, but he just wouldn't use it. A lot of people hear about salvation, but it's right there near to them, but they just won't embrace it. You got to hear it. John 6:45 is written in the prophets, and it shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and learned of the Father, they use that power and they come to me. Come to me. We got to believe that Jesus the Christ, he says, there's so much power in belief. He says, unless you believe that I'm he in John 8:24, you're going to die in your sins. Because the power of my word will not save you because you are not tapping into it. You're not embracing it. You got to believe that I'm the Christ. I can give it to you. I can give you life. I can give you life eternal, but you got to want that. Got to want it. Got to repent of our sins. Now, Peter said to the Jews of dispersion, unless you get it right, husbands, unless you apologize, your prayer ain't going nowhere. So let's be examples and leaders, men in our households, in our homes, in the workplace. Let's be men of God. Let's repent of our sins and let people know that we're sorry for the things that we've done. Are we not upright and pure? Are we not sincere men of God? Repent of your sins, men and women alike. Don't compare yourselves to anybody else because your sins are not any worse than mine, mine are any worse than yours. It's still sin in the eyes of God and he can forgive it. We got to confess Christ. That water cooler talk ain't hitting on nothing. Amen. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you for my Father which is in heaven. And what a better thing to hear than your name ringing through heaven, the name of your name coming off the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he's speaking about you in heaven because you're speaking about him down here. It's not about procedure. It's about attitude and heart. I'm not going to invalidate the fact that you get on your knees every morning and every night. I'm not taking that away from you. But what I want you to know is that some of y'all out there, southern colloquial terms, some of y'all out there are praying to yourselves. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that something? But you can pray to God and he can save your life, your very soul, because there's power in the blood and that blood is in the water of baptism. It's in baptism. Galatians 3:26 and 27. A lot of people want to feel like they're children of God, like they're saints, but that's not what Galatians says. He said, well, we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we become sons of God. For all of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Without that, you have no power. None. You can talk till the cows come home. You can be in any religious entity you want to be in. That ain't where it's at. Because the power is in the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, full of power, full of love. See, it's that love that gives us that power from God. He's always loved us first, so we ought to tap into that power and love him back. I'm getting ready to give an opportunity to show you love back to God, how you respond to this invitation. You're going to just sit there and be powerless and weak and pray to yourself, thinking you can save yourself. And you're going to show this in a few minutes when we stand up and sing this invitation song. You're going to allow Satan just to overpower you and let you sit right where you're sitting or stand where you're sitting, and you're not going to walk up and accept the salvation that comes from God. But you can break the power of Satan by accepting the salvation that comes from God. And in John 8:32, if Jesus Christ sets you free, you're going to be free indeed. So let's be free. Let's tap into the power of God and have our souls saved this morning and be baptized in the water grave of baptism.
commemorate the church that Christ purchased with his own blood. If we can help you with that today, why don't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and